Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to say thank you for watching or for listening today, and to remind you to subscribe to make sure you don't miss anything, and also leave us a review to let us know what I can do better. I also listed my email address in the episode show notes, so please check that out. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, things you want us to talk about on the podcast, I'm so grateful to get your feedback when I can get that. So I really want to craft this around what your needs are in terms of discipleship. So today, I'm just going to be reflecting on a couple of passages that I came across this week, and on its face, they seem like very, very different passages of Scripture, but I found a really interesting connection point between the two of them. And when I came across the second one that, and saw how it connected, I was like, oh, I want to talk about that. And so the first one actually came about during our Wednesday evening walking with class that we have here at Faith Covenant. If you've been with us now for a while at Faith Covenant, you know that we've been doing a walking with ministry that is a discipleship ministry that helps people use Scripture to just or simple tools just to walk with Scripture without any outside resources. Really easy way of going through it with people who maybe aren't as familiar or have never read the Bible before. And so recently we've been in Exodus with that, looking at the Exodus narrative of how God brought the Israelites when they were enslaved out of Egypt and used Moses as a leader to accomplish that. So we're going to look at Exodus 7 verses 1 through 5 and then talk a little about that. So I'm going to just go ahead and jump in and start reading that. Exodus 7 verses 1 through 5. It says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." So, as we were talking about this passage the other night during our Walking With group, and delving into this and what do some of the passages mean, one of the people in the group brought out that God was making things harder for people. God was hardening the heart of Pharaoh. And because Pharaoh's heart was hardened, Pharaoh did not let the Israelites go for a while. And plague after plague after plague came from God upon the Egyptians. Now, the first couple of plagues also affected the Israelites. But after a while, the plague started only to affect the Egyptians. So God was making Pharaoh's heart harder. God was allowing things and even making things worse for the Egyptians. How do we understand that if we are to understand a loving God? Well, we get part of the answer right here in this very passage, where it says towards the end of the passage in verse 3, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I will multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you." So God's hardening Pharaoh's heart, he will not listen. "Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment bring out my people, the Israelites." Here's the thing. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. So right there, I guess we get part of our answer. Why is God allowing something worse to happen? Why is God causing something worse to happen? Well, here, part of the answer is that the Egyptians will know that God is the real God. The Egyptians were worshiping a whole host of false gods. They were a polytheistic religion. They worshiped gods of sun and air and all kinds of different gods. These plagues were God's opportunity to show and prove to the Egyptian people that there is only one true God. And as the plagues progress, the people of Egypt even start to acknowledge this. The first plague, the water is turned into blood. The Nile and all the water is turned into blood. And initially, some of the pharaoh's magicians are able to replicate this. They seem to also be able to turn water into blood. So at first, people are skeptical. But by the third plague, the pharaoh's magicians are not able to repeat this. And they say, this is the work of the God of the Israelites. This God is real. This is the true God. And by the end of the 10 plagues, the Egyptians know that the Lord of the Israelites is the true God. They have come to know that God is God, and they are being judged. And so at that point, the Israelites are leaving. They're getting out of Egypt. Pharaoh's heart has been hardened, but finally, after his own son dies of a plague, the Pharaoh says, get out. And as they're leaving, the Egyptians just give the Israelites gold, silver, clothing. There's a huge transfer of wealth from the Egyptians to the Israelites. Wealth that realistically the Israelites had been working for 400 years as slaves. You could say that they were finally receiving the wages that they'd been due all this time. So they're being given all of this wealth. Why? Because the Egyptians know now that the one true God is on their side. And so they willingly, to help them leave, they say, here is all of our stuff. And the Israelites, the scripture actually says the Israelites plundered the Egyptians just by asking for their stuff. The Israelites just said, can we have that? And the Egyptians were like, sure, here, take it, go. They nonviolently plundered the Egyptians, because the Egyptians saw, because Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God, that helped prove to the Egyptians that God is God. So God allowed bad things to happen for good purposes, for God's purposes, that most people in that moment probably didn't understand very well, or didn't enjoy, certainly. But God allowed bad things to happen for good purposes, for the Egyptians to know that God was the one true God. And of course, this also was a tremendous lesson to the Israelites too. They also saw God at work, and that was incredibly strengthening of their faith to see these plagues happening against their oppressors and to see God bring them out of that period of bondage and into freedom. That showed the Israelites who God is. So God used and even caused hardship to teach valuable lessons about who he was and to teach people about how powerful he is. So now we're going to switch gears, and I'm going to take you from a passage that I discussed during a Bible study in my small group to a passage that I read a couple of nights ago just during my own devotional time, and that is in John 11. And as we're going to look at John 11, verses 11 through 14. But immediately leading up to these verses, Jesus is spending time with his disciples, and he learns that a very dear friend of his and of many of the other disciples, Lazarus, is very ill. Jesus receives notification that Lazarus is ill, and people are sending for him and saying, Lord Jesus, please come. We know that you can heal Lazarus, so please come visit. And Jesus decides to stay where he is. He doesn't go back to heal Lazarus. He stays where he is for an extra 2 days. And that's where we pick up. We pick up in John chapter 11, verse 11, and we'll read through 14 here. It says this, after he said this, he went on to tell them, he being Jesus, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So here in this passage, Jesus intentionally chose not to go to Lazarus when he learned that Lazarus was sick. He could have healed him. Jesus did that plenty of times with other people, and that's what people were expecting of him. Everybody around them knew, both around Lazarus and around Jesus and his disciples, all these people knew that if Jesus just goes there, Lazarus will be healed of whatever the sickness is. But Jesus says he has fallen asleep. Lazarus has died. He's very blunt with them. He's like, Lazarus has died, and I'm glad that I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there in order to heal him, to save him from death. How do we understand that? How do we understand that Jesus is glad that Lazarus has died? Well, again, we get part of the answer right there in Scripture. He says, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So right there, Jesus says, I am glad because it is going to build your faith for you to see what happens next. You are going to believe more strongly in who I am because Lazarus dies. So Jesus is glad about this. At the same time, when Jesus gets there, Mary and Martha, Lazarus's two sisters, it seems like they both have some frustration mixed in with their faith. They both say, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. They're kind of upset with him, it sounds like. They're saying, Lord, we're kind of blaming you. You could have stopped this from happening. But we remember what he told his disciples. Jesus is glad that he wasn't there. But even though Jesus is glad because this will be a faith-building moment, before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, after he talks to both Mary and Martha, Jesus weeps. He expressed that he was glad to his disciples that Lazarus would die because of the faith lesson that they would receive. But yet, even though he's glad, Jesus weeps in the midst of that. Now, we don't entirely know what it means that Jesus wept. We don't know exactly why Jesus was weeping. There's probably a whole host of reasons. Scholars have debated those reasons for thousands of years. We're not going to get to that answer today. But even in the midst of Jesus' gladness at teaching a valuable lesson to his followers, he still weeps. He's still deeply emotional. I think the scripture even says Jesus was deeply moved by the situation, by Lazarus' death. Well, moments later, after Jesus weeps, Jesus indeed does raise Lazarus from the dead. It's an incredible resurrection. At this point, Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. That's a very dead person. That's a very dead person. But Jesus still raises him from the dead. And so many people are just shocked at this. They knew that Lazarus had been dead. They saw him die. They helped put him in the tomb. They were grieving him. When Jesus arrives at the town where Lazarus and arrives at the house, there is just a multitude of people that are around grieving and mourning the loss. And they all witness Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And when they see this happen, they're like, this guy is the guy. He is the Messiah. There's no other way. This is too big of a sign. This is too big of a deal. And word spreads all around to the extent that the Pharisees, the people in charge, the leaders, they decide that not only do we have to kill Jesus now to keep our power, they decide they might have to kill Lazarus as well, because this guy's got to go back to being dead. Because otherwise, if he's still alive, that proves that Jesus raised him from the dead. So it sets this whole chain of events in motion, and we're not going to go all the way down that rabbit hole. But what we see is that in both of these circumstances, in the Exodus narrative that we looked at, and here in John 11, in both of these circumstances and many other circumstances in the Bible, God allows bad things to happen. Sometimes God even causes it. In Exodus, God causes Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, which means that Pharaoh doesn't let the people go, which means God goes into all these plagues to show them who he is. In John, Jesus allows a natural illness to lead to death. So God will sometimes cause or allow bad things to happen. But why? Well, again, in both these cases, part of the answer is because God wants to teach people a lesson sometimes. Sometimes people need to learn more, and so God has to allow bad things to happen so that we can learn from those experiences. But we also see other effects down the road. So we didn't go into it before, but in the Exodus narrative, what we see happen is that 40 years later, when the Israelites have been wandering in the desert for years and years, for several decades, longer than I've been alive, they start to enter the Promised Land. And as they approach the Promised Land, the nations of Canaan, they see the Israelites on their doorstep and they are freaked out. Why? Because they know that God is on their side and they know what God did to Egypt. Decades later, God's power is still known to other nations in that region, even 40 years later. That's incredible. And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and how it impacted so many people at that time who saw this happen and they believed in Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah. That is still a reason today why people believe that Jesus is the Messiah, because he had the power to raise people from the dead. So sometimes God will allow really difficult things to happen, or even cause really difficult things to happen. Now, this knowledge that God sometimes does or allows these things doesn't mean that these hard times are suddenly made easy. This doesn't negate the challenge or the pain that we experience when God allows or even causes these circumstances. They still hurt. Even Jesus, like I was saying earlier, even Jesus wept. He allowed Lazarus to die, and he knew he was about to raise Lazarus back to life, but still, Jesus wept. These circumstances are still hard. Knowing that God might be behind these things or allowing these things doesn't make these things easy. It didn't then, and it doesn't today in our own lives. These things are still hard. However, when it seems like things might be getting worse, it might be able to help us have peace in the storm, knowing that God has a bigger perspective of what we might need. And maybe during our lifetimes, we never see that what that is. But we can trust that God has greater purposes for why these things are happening. We know that God is good. We can trust in that. It's not always easy to do that. But we can know that when things are hard, when things are getting worse, that might be God in action. It might not just be the brokenness of the world. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes the world is just broken and it just gets worse. But sometimes God allows or even causes things to happen so that we can grow, so that we can learn something, so that others can see what God is doing. That's a hard lesson. I'm not saying this because it's going to make life easier or it's going to give you maybe some measure of comfort. But I say this because it's true. That's what Scripture tells us. And I hope that that can give us some peace. I know that that's given me some peace in recent times where I've seen things unfolding and I'm like, I think this is getting worse. This does not look like it's getting better. But I can have peace in that, because God can use circumstances that are getting worse, whatever that might be in your life. When things are getting worse, God can still be working through that. It's a difficult word, but I hope it's a word that gives you peace, and I hope it's a word that can help you keep your trust in the Lord. So that's what I wanted to say today. I also just want to say that I'm going to be taking a little break from the podcast for Thanksgiving. So we'll resume with some new episodes after Thanksgiving and then probably take another break again over the Christmas holidays. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, thank you so much for watching and listening. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.